Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
Jesus, isn't God good? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Everybody all right this morning? Praise the Lord. God is good. Hallelujah. I feel like today, when I say I feel like, it seems good to me and the Holy Spirit to do something a little different this morning. Is that all right with you?
Yes.
Just sitting here just a few moments ago, I feel impressed to talk about something a little different than what I had planned this morning. Hallelujah. Heaven and oh, God is in the people changing business. Hallelujah. Anybody been changed by God other than the pastor in here today? Hallelujah. How many likes to share about what God has done for them? Amen. Praise God. Well, you should, because it's one of your greatest tools. You want to take a today, if you want to know what we're going to call this, I really don't know, but we could say an important tool. How many know that, you know, an important tool is one that you use all the time? Isn't that right? You know, Pastor Debbie and I, I'm going to tell a little story on me and starting today, and then we'll get going where we're going to go. I remember that one year I was, how many know I deal with things just like you have to deal with things? Praise the Lord. And Pastor Debbie and I for years and years have had jet skis and we always enjoy the water and different stuff. I like going fast and all that kind of stuff. I like doing crazy things. I got my brother-in-law and brother-in-laws in here and different stuff. And we've done some crazy things. Don't want to talk about all them. But I'm glad I'm alive. Amen. And I remember one time I was working on the jet ski, and I was really frustrated because I dropped the tool down in the bottom of it. Okay? Dropped the tool in the bottom of it. And I needed a magnet. You know what I'm saying? An extension magnet. And also, what I really needed was I needed an extension bar that was longer than the 3-inch one I had. I needed about a 12-inch extension bar to be able to do what I was doing to make it easier to do. And so I was struggling. I was upset. And Pastor Debbie comes down, and she sees my struggle, and she asks the awe-inspiring question. Did you pray before you started this? And at that point, that, even though I'm the pastor, I didn't really want to hear that, because the answer was, no, I didn't, but I should have. And she says, well, love, don't you think we should pray about that right now? And after I repented, I said, yes. I said, yeah, we should. Well, within 2 minutes after we prayed, I got it. I fixed it after struggling for about 20 or 25 minutes. One of the things I said, really quick, one of the things I said afterwards, I guarantee you one thing, when I finish this, I'm going to get the right tool for this thing. How many know I went out and got the right tool? Okay. So it's important to have the right tool in your toolbox. And so this is what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about one of the most important tools that you can use in your life, and that is your testimony. The power of your testimony is one of the most important Christian tools that you have in your life. If you are a disciple and you are a follower of Jesus Christ and you love Jesus with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, then it should not be news to us that God has called us to be a part of His Great Commission. The Great Commission is not the Great Suggestion. The Great Commission is to go into all the world and preach the gospel into all creation so that people could hear the gospel and receive Christ and be saved. The scripture says that we're to preach the gospel in a way that we make disciples and followers of Jesus Christ. And so today I want to share with you very briefly, I could spend much more time about this, what I call the power of your testimony. I could spend several weeks in talking about this, but what I'm about to share with you came by revelation to me. How many know it's when God shows you things by revelation? His word is Him speaking to us. But how many know the Holy Spirit is the author of that book? And there's things that you don't know that's in the book that God has said. The Holy Spirit will not only reveal to you what is written, but the Holy Spirit can lead you to places in the Word of God where which He will take you and show you things that you didn't even know that were in there. Things that maybe you've read before, but you didn't put the pieces together. And so many years ago, this past March the 30th, I have been born again for 39 years. Many of you know my testimony. At some point today, I'll talk about that. But when I made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life on March the 30th, well, matter of fact, I'll talk about it right now. I grew up, and for 24 years of my life, I thought because I went to church and did good things and didn't get caught doing bad things, thought because I shook the preacher's hand and was water baptized as a child, thought because I prayed every night and asked God to forgive me, that I was right with God. But on March the 30th, 1986, amen, at the age of 24, on an Easter Sunday, I heard a message. I had to go into church if my gal religion, in other words, I was going to church because my wife, amen, was going to that church. Amen. Praise God. And even though I knew that going to church was right, really the only thing I was doing was salving my conscience. That day, I had no more idea that I would be changed eternally. When I walked in there, I had no idea I'd be changed eternally when I walked out. I'd be a different person than when I walked out. Now, don't make no mistake, I was the same person outwardly, but inwardly had been changed. How many know that 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. See, when we get saved, when we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, when we repent of our sins and call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to save us, then He actually saves us. But what He does is, by His Holy Spirit, He recreates our spirit, our fallen nature. Our fallen nature is a nature of sin. But that nature of sin is eradicated. And God actually comes to live on the inside of us. Amen. Christ in us, the hope of glory, by the third person of the Holy Spirit. And He makes us a brand new creation. Like we were lost, now we're saved. We were a child of the devil, now we become a child of God. Amen. In that moment, in a moment, by calling upon the name, believing with my heart that Jesus Christ died for my sin, and I made Him Lord, and invited Him into my heart, He changed my life. And I left that place that day, that church that morning. I had no idea all that transpired, other than I knew this, that I was right with God. I had peace with God, and that burden, that uncertainty of knowing whether I'm saved or not, or right with God, it became real to me that I was right with God. I had peace with God, and I knew that moment that I was different. Now, I didn't know that everything that God had done for me, because your faith will only go as far as your knowledge of God's Word. And so, to the degree that you know what God's Word says, is the degree that you can really understand God. But I knew this. I knew I was right with God. I knew I'd been forgiven. I knew I was saved, and I was changed by the power of God, and I was thankful for that. Amen. And so, that moment that I got saved, I knew something was different about me. The things that I love to do, suddenly, the things that I... See, I hope you understand. We all have things. We can have hobbies. We can have things that we like to do and we can do and enjoy in our lives. But the things that we do in our lives cannot take the place of God. If they take the place of God, then they become idols. Now, see, my idol was hunting and fishing. Now, there's nothing matter with hunting and fishing, but hunting and fishing had became my God. I was an idol worshiper because all I wanted to do. Now, I know that's a lot of times people say, what? Yeah, that was my God. I lived to hunt and fish. Come on. To the detriment of my own marriage, to the detriment of everything in my life. And you become blinded and oblivious to everything around you. So much so that you don't even know that your marriage is on the rocks and you're about to lose the best thing that ever happened to you outside of Jesus becoming the Lord of your life. Well, the truth is, that day something happened inwardly. And you know what? Some stuff began to happen in my life that I didn't have I just couldn't explain it. Man, I had been fishing. And I, you know, many of you know my testimony, but now all of a sudden I'm getting seasick. Are you kidding me? Getting seasick, feeling sick. And if you've ever gotten seasick, that's not a good feeling. In all the years that I did the things on the water, I did go for hours to get to the place where I'm fishing at in the ocean. Never got sick one time. Now, all of a sudden, before I'm leaving the dock, I'm feeling nauseated. All these types of things. I begin to figure, I said, God, I know you're talking to me. But what ends up happening is that the desire, the strong desire I had was no longer there. It was superseded by Jesus and knowing Him. I remember, as I was a meat cutter at that time, was a meat manager at a local store, and I remember grinding hamburger one day. Now relax, I didn't cry in the hamburger, okay? But I remember grinding hamburger one day and talking to God the whole time while I'm grinding hamburger, and said, God, I said, I don't understand all this going on with me. I can see myself in my mind's eye, and I heard God say, son, if you just lay down those things, I will bless you. See, He just asked me to lay them down. And I did. And really for almost 40 years, other than once or twice, I never hunted or fished anymore. Not because hunting and fishing was my God anymore, but now I'm so enthused about Jesus Christ that my life is going in a different direction. And I'm hungry and thirsty for God. And I ain't got time for everything else. Now, I want to qualify. There's nothing matter with hunting and fishing. It just cannot be your God. Now, listen. That's my testimony. Everybody will have a different testimony. So all you wives, don't hit your husband and say, see, that God is talking to you about giving up, you know, whatever. No. That may not be true. It's as long as it's not your God and not. So the point that I'm getting at is here today. So I moved on in my life because I'm sold out to God. And from that moment, God began to use my wife and I. You know, before when I got saved, I knew nothing of the Word. I didn't know the difference between the book of Job, if it was the book of Job or not. Come on, I ain't lying to you. I didn't know if Psalms was Psalms. I didn't know one scripture. I didn't know John 3:16. I didn't know nothing. One reason why I like to talk about this is because now I can quote hundreds of scriptures and people look at me and say, oh, I remember, where's Dickie Hurston at? Years ago when I first got saved, I don't know if he's here today or not, they called me Bible Buddy because I knew all these scripture verses. And there he is. He used to call me Bible Buddy. Now, I'm not saying that to blow my horn. It's just that I took time to meditate on scriptures. My wife and I learned the scriptures because every day she worked in the shipyard. We wanted to know God. And so one of the things that we did, I would write down 3 or 4 scripture verses every day on a 3x5 index card. Something that spoke to me about who I am, what I have, and what I can do in Christ. Amen. And we would memorize them. She would take like 1 a day. I would take 3. You would take 1 a week. Amen. And I would take 3 or 4 a day. Sometimes I didn't do it every day, but I would have those. I had them stretched out above my visor and on my meat thing, and where I was cutting meat, and I would memorize those scriptures. When we come home at night, we would actually quote them to one another. What scriptures did you learn today? And we quote them. And so, because we were hungry for God, we wanted to know the Word of God. Amen. And so the thing that changed our life was when we started finding out that God wanted to do in our life what he did to the people in the Bible. See, it's wonderful that God used Moses, used Paul, used Samson, used, amen, Peter, and all the people in the Bible. But the reason why I wasn't attracted to the Bible is because nobody ever told me how that if I would learn what they did, I could have the same thing they did. It's wonderful that God did it for them, but all of a sudden now I'm finding out that God is talking to me the same way he's talking to them, and if I would learn what they learned, I could do what they did. And so now that began to make me hungry for God. So we began to learn the Word of God, and our lives were being changed by the power of God. And one of the things that we learned really quick is what Jesus told us to all do. Now, this is the point that I'm getting to today, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And to be honest with you, from the very get-go, we began to do that. We began to share our faith with other people. We began to tell what Jesus did for us and share. We learned scripture so we could share what Jesus did and let people know. Because how many know the Word of God is the power? The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. There's inherent power in the Word of God. It produces faith in the heart of the hearer. So this is why we must share the Word of God. And this is why the devil works overtime to keep people out of churches like this, or keep people in the world from hearing what you say about God. Because only faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so a lot of times people, you've heard me say this before, people will say, well, you know what? I don't believe in the God that you like you do. I don't believe in God. I don't believe there was a God. And many times I shock them when they say that to me, because I'll look at them and they'll say, well, you know what? I don't blame you. If I was in your shoes, I wouldn't believe either. And they were like, what are you talking about? And I would just explain to them. I said, if I didn't know any word, if I have never heard the gospel, if I never heard the Word of God, I wouldn't believe either. Because that is the tool that the devil uses to keep us from receiving what God has for us. Because it's impossible for us to know about God apart from His Word. In other words, to have a clear revelation of who He is, what He has, and what He's done for us. The Word of God is the number one way that God is going to reveal His Son. How many know that His Son, Jesus Christ, is the Word, and His Word is, or Jesus Christ is, according to Hebrews chapter 1, the final revelation of God. And so we want to know the final Word, the first and the last. That's why it's called the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, because everything begins and ends with Him. And what He said, He is the Word of God. And so that written word you have, and I have in you have in your lap, reveals that written word reveals the living Word. And so here's the point that I'm trying to get to, is that we were doing the things that we knew to do about winning people to Christ. We got filled with the Holy Ghost. How many know being filled with the Holy Spirit is part of the will of God for every believer? Come on. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm not apologizing for it. This is a Spirit-filled church. And that means we believe what the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, when the Spirit of God was poured out on the day of Pentecost. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. If you knew the benefit of being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in other tongues, no one would criticize it in their right mind. Matter of fact, they would say, oh my God, why haven't I received that like many of you have? Because once you find out the benefits of all that, then you want what the benefit gives. You want what God, the gift that God gives. So here's my dilemma. As we're moving forward, and we're talking about an important tool. How many know if you don't have the right tool, you can't get the job done as quick? You might get it done, but you struggle, all those kind of things. But today, The tool that I'm talking about is the power of your testimony. What I'm about to share with you is my own personal struggle and journey to be a better witness for Jesus Christ. How many know I'm still growing, and we should all still be growing? No matter how good we are at sharing our faith, we can get better at this. And this is why from time to time I love to teach this, because this is just a off-the-cuff version of it. Because I call it the power of the testimony, because I remember back in the late 1980s, at night, going to this little back bedroom where my study was, and I remember looking out the stars that night with the window up in the screen, hearing the crickets chirp in the beautiful sky, and I'm crying out to God and said, God, I know I'm to witness, I know I'm to share my faith, I know I'm to win the lost, I know I'm to do all those things, and we are to a certain degree, but I said, I want to know how to do this more effectively. Even though how many know you can be doing something, but you know you're still missing out? There's a greater, and there's an easier, and a better way. And see, some of the things that I'm about, one of the things I'm getting ready to share, I remember, thank God, in a good church just like this, because I was, this church changed my life. In other words, the doctrine and the truths and the pastors that were preceded me helped change my life. They shaped the life that I am now. The Word of God, the Spirit of God, and those many women of God helped shape and form me into the person that I am today by the grace and the power of God. God would do the same thing with you. God uses strong local churches to help people go from where they're at to where He wants them to be. That's God's plan. Don't let anybody ever tell you any different. So I'm crying out to God. And I saw some things. I saw evangelists come. I remember one particular evangelist came in. And man, he was a fireball for Jesus. He's in heaven today. He was a fireball for Jesus. And happened to know his style probably wasn't wrong, but it may not have been easy for me as a new believer. You know, he would come up to the door of a window of the car and knock it on. And they say, I want to tell you about Jesus. And the person rolled the window back up. And they drive off real quick. He said, turn a burn. You know, that kind of stuff. It worked for him, but when I saw that kind of, I was like, God, I can't do that. That's not me. I just can't do that. Now, that wasn't wrong for him, but that just wasn't comfortable with me. And one reason why is because I'm a new believer. Okay, and I don't like confrontation. Like many of you, you don't like confrontation. But having to know God wants to confront you. And so that night, crying out to God, I'm going to fast forward, God supernaturally showed me what I call the power of your testimony. And God supernaturally, here's what He said. He said, son, the reason, I said, God, I want to know how to better share my faith. I want to be effective. I want to win the loss. Even though we were winning the loss and doing things like that, I wanted to be better at it. My own frustration, I cried out to God. And God said, son, your problem is, you don't know what to say. You're afraid because you don't know what to say. How many know if you don't know what to say, you are afraid? He says, that's your problem. He said, but son, you always have something to say when you have a testimony. Now that's what he said. Now what I'm about to share with you changed my life. That's what he said. Son, you always have something to share when you have a testimony. And so I'm like, What are you talking about, God? And then God supernaturally took me to three portions of Scripture. The first was the madman from Gadara. Mark chapter 5. Anybody remember the madman from Gadara? He was a crazy man. He was full of the devil, but not just the devil. He had a legion of devils in him. And Jesus came and cast out the devils, and it says he became clothed and in his right mind. That should tell us that we're supposed to have some clothes on. Praise the Lord. If we are in that right mind. Praise. Anyway, that's an old joke. So his life was changed. Okay? So here's what it said. Now, for time's sake, we don't have time to read all that, because I want to give you those other two examples as well. We'll talk about this. Here's what he did. All the people from the town came back, and they saw this man that lived in the cemetery, who cut himself, who run buck naked, could break chains and all, was terrorized the countryside. Now clothed in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus is getting ready to enter the boat and leave. And you know what this man did? This man says, I want to follow you. I'll go wherever you want me to go. You know what? I realize I didn't have a legion of demons cast out of me, but I can concur, when you meet Jesus, you really want to follow him. You really want to follow him. You want to get in his boat and go with him. And this is why I call the local church the USS Church. Amen. Praise God. We get in the boat, hallelujah, and go with Jesus. Here's what Jesus told that man. We would think that Jesus would want that man to go with him. But Jesus had another plan. Happen to know that God's plan is better than your plan. See, many of the plans of a man's heart, Proverbs 19:21, but the purpose of the Lord, it shall stand. So it's not your purpose that is going to ultimately stand. It's going to be God's purpose. Now, you can do your purpose and do your plan, but one day you'll stand before God and God will show you, this is my plan for your life. And you did this. Many of us know that in our heart. Well, we just need to get busy following Jesus and just doing what Jesus told us to do. Now, listen, here's what, when that man said, I want to go with you, here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, nope, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go home to your family and to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and have compassion upon you. He went to Decapolis. You know, Decapolis is not just a place, it's 10 cities. 10 towns or 10 cities. Look it up. Decapolis, he went back, and it says, I'm paraphrasing it, he spread what God did in those 10 towns. And people were amazed. Those Decapolis was changed by that man's testimony of what Jesus had done for him. Listen, that man didn't know one scripture verse. That man hadn't been with the apostles and the disciples. He hadn't followed Jesus up until this point. He hadn't been to Bible school. Come on. He hadn't been a member of the local church. He hadn't been anything. All he's done, he's saved. And now he heard what that Jesus' command was, go home and tell your family and friends what great things the Lord has done for you and have had compassion upon you. And he went and he changed 10 towns. Fast forward, we go to the book. Actually, we can go back to the Mark chapter 1 where we find the leper. The leper who Jesus cleansed comes to sees Jesus, and Jesus said this, Jesus, I know that if you want to, if you will, you can cleanse me. I know you can, but I don't know if you will or not. He says, I know you can. I don't know what I said first, but what I meant was saying, he said, I know you can, but I don't know if you will. That's basically Mark chapter 1, verse 40. He says, I know you can cleanse me, Jesus. I just don't know if you will. And here's Jesus' words. He says, I will be thou clean. Matter of fact, one translation says, of course I will be thou clean. Showing that it's God's will to heal. Not just to save, but to heal. He don't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus said, I come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. He said, I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what I hear my Father say. So when Jesus said, I will for all time, he settled it, that it's God's will for people to be healed. He said, I will be made whole, be clean. And then, you know what he did? He told him to go and share with the people what God has done. Present, go to the priest, offer the sacrifice, and that's what he told him to do. But then here's what the man did. The man on his own went and shared his testimony, so much so, and it says he blazed the fame of God abroad, the Son of God abroad, so much so that Jesus couldn't enter into the cities anymore to preach the gospel because it produced such a crowd. Jesus had to withdraw himself out into places where there was where people could come to him, because when in the crowd it caught into town, it caused such a ruckus because of what this man had said Jesus had done. Now everybody's coming to be healed. Now everybody's come to hear him. One other testimony that I want to give you is what Jesus told me to turn to, or the Holy Spirit did, in John chapter 4. This is the last story that I'm going to share in the scripture and that I believe. Anyway, it's the woman at the well of Samaria. John chapter 4. Jesus and his disciples have been on a journey. They get to the edge of the city of Samaria. His disciples go in to get food for them. And he goes to the well, and the woman from Samaria comes out. There's a lot of variables there, a lot of things that we could share for time's sake. Basically, Jesus confronted her, engaged her in a conversation. And he actually read her mail. What do you mean he read her mail? Well, by the word of knowledge, he just let her know about her past and her living condition. Matter of fact, he just said something like this. Why don't you go and get your husband and bring him back here? And she says, look, I ain't got no husband. He says, you're exactly right. And the man you've had five, and the man you're living with now is not yours. And she goes, oh, I perceive you're a prophet. Well, he's more than a prophet. He's the Son of God. Amen. So when he begins to share with her, she begins to see, this is the Messiah. This is the Son of God. See, there's going to be a time and point in our life, hopefully, before we draw our last breath, that something's going to be said, and Jesus is going to be manifested to you in such a way that la, 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 the light bulb comes on, and you see he's more than a prophet. He's more than just a religious figure. He is the Son of God, and he's come to save you and deliver you, and it becomes real, just like that woman did. And it might be through somebody's testimony like I'm talking about. So here's what happened. She, like, oh my God, this is the Messiah. So she runs to the town and tells the people in the town, I just met a man that told me everything about me in life. This has got to be the Messiah. And it says, the people in a stream came out to meet him. And at first, they said, when they heard him, they were convinced too, this is the Messiah. This is the Son of God. Oh, he's here. At first, they said, we come because of your words. Because your testimony, but now we're staying because we've heard his word. You know, many times our words gets a person to a place where they can hear God's word. So they can receive him and be changed. So when God showed me those three testimonies, I realized this, that in all three instances, those whole towns of people were changed. Not because they held a mass crusade. Not that would be wrong, but because of one person's testimony in each example. The power of your testimony is so critical. This is why I have taught for years that every person, I don't have time to teach it today, but for every person needs to have a 1 to 3 minute testimony that they share what God has done for them. Amen. I always like to say this, tell your story. Then God's story, the gospel, and then God will get the glory. Amen. So let me give you a couple examples of what I'm talking about. From that day forward, I began to realize this. Here's the point. I always have something to say when I meet people because I got a testimony. I'm not stumbling over what I'm going to say. Pastor Debbie will tell you. I always go right back to my testimony. And it's simple. You say, well, Pastor Chris, you must have this this grand testimony. You know, you think that you got to have this testimony that of guts and glory, and God, you know, deliver it. You were strung out, and you were beat up and beat down, and you had one foot in hell. I had one foot in hell, didn't know it. A lot of people have one foot in hell and know it, and they're so messed up that when you hear their testimony, they say, that's God. But you know what? I'm not them, and they're not me, but I know what God did for me. And when I begin to share my testimony with people everywhere, I do it, and I'll share it with you. I shared it a minute ago. I'm going to give you an example. I'll give you several examples, and then we'll close today. I've had to do this because God caused me to understand, always got something to say. So I'm not really concerned. Now, I would say 90% of the time when I meet somebody and I share my faith, I'm going to use my testimony. There are other times where something happens, somebody may say something, I can counter it another way, but 90% of the time, I would say at least 90% of the time, I just start it with my testimony. So one day, Pastor Debbie and I'll give you a couple examples. One day, well, I'll start back years ago, and many of you heard this testimony, but I love to tell it because it's so powerful. So I'm working. See, you think I witness because I'm a pastor. I witness because I'm a Christian. I've been doing this since the time I got saved. But now I'm doing it differently because now I realize I got something to say. So I'm looking for a door of opportunity. I was working in the meat market, and I came in that morning to unload the truck. I had meat and perishable on the truck. I'm the only one there. I'm unloading it. And back then, what ends up happening is I had a new truck driver that came I had never met before. He, first time he ever been. Come to find out, he's from New York. He's about my height, but about 50 or 60 pounds more than I. I'd say he's probably about 70 pounds, and all of it was muscle. And so he walks through the door. That, of course, that didn't intimidate me, but I never met him before. So I began to engage him in a conversation, and those four-letter words that he was using rapidly, you know, let me know, you know, they weren't L-O-V-E. Those four-letter words that he was using, let me know that he wasn't a believer. So I was like, okay, this is another approach. So I'm listening. He turned my conversation. I was like, whoa, glory, okay. So when it was all said and done, here, I'm getting ready to sign the paperwork, never see him again, possibly. And that day, that morning, was a Thursday morning, I'll forget, because I'm pulling down, Stephanie, you here? There you go. That back door, I'm pulling the back door down, the things up that we just moved the gangplank, and I'm pulling down that, and it's the sun's coming up. And so I said, man, it is different out here this morning than it was last night when I left from church. And he goes, you go to church? And I said, yeah. He says, well, tell me about it. And I said, cha-ching. Okay, well, I began to share with him, and I didn't get 15 seconds into it when he stopped me. And he said, well, I got Jehovah's Witness. He was from New York, and he just moved to Richmond and took that trucking job. He says, I had Jehovah's Witness come to my house all the time in New York. And he said, I knew they were false. But he says, at least they did what they believed in. I said, you got a good point there. Even though it's false, it's wrong. And then he gets going off on something else. Well, I'm signing the paperwork. He's getting ready. Another minute goes by. He's rattling on. Here he goes. He's walking out the door. And I stop him. And I said, sir, I'll never forget as long as I live. I said, sir, you asked me to share with you about church, about me going to church, and I haven't had that chance. Would you allow me? I want to share with you what you asked. And so he turned to me, and I said this, just like you've heard me say, if you're a part of this church, heard me say, I said, I grew up in church, and for 24 years of my life, some of y'all can repeat it after me. Praise the Lord. I grew up in church for 24 years of my life. I thought because I went to church and did good things and didn't get caught doing bad things. Because I shook the preacher's hand, was water baptized as a child. Thought because I prayed every night and asked God to forgive me, that I was right with God. But I said, In 1986, at the age of 24, I heard a message. And I realized this, that I wasn't right with God. I had my own version of God. And even though I believed in God, I had never come to God the way He said to come to Him. And the only way you can come to Him is through His Son, Jesus Christ. By personally receiving Him, accepting Him as Lord. And that day I did. And the peace of God came to my life. And my life has been changed ever since. And I'm talking to you, listen, that's all I said. And he had bowed his head. He wasn't even looking at me. And I said, sir, is that something? And I said, when I finished, I don't know if anybody's ever asked you or not, but would you like to make Jesus the Lord of your life and be changed like I'm talking about right then? He looked up and tears were streaming down his face. I couldn't see that. That's what it was. But when he looked up, tears were streaming down his face. And he looked at me and pointed me in my chest. And he said, that is what I've been looking for all of my life. And that day, we bowed our head over that stinky dumpster right there, Stephanie. I grabbed hands to him, prayed with him, and he received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. I went back into my room and got a couple little books, about how to follow Christ, and gave him them. And I said, read these, pray, find a local church, amen, and I hope to see you again. 2 years later, it was the first time I saw him. And he comes back to where I'm cutting meat, and he goes, hey, it's me. And we begin to talk, and he said, I'm doing good. Pray for my wife. My wife isn't following, but she's going to. I said, you're right. We'll pray for you. Praise God. Hallelujah. How many know the power of your testimony? God wants you. What has God done for you? I said, what has God done for you? Then you need to have a 1 to 3 minute testimony that shares what God has done for you and how he has changed your life and he has saved you. I remember being, Pastor Debbie and I, one Friday morning, we went, which we normally do, went to a Walmart real early in the morning. And I go down the, that was back about a year and a half ago now, probably, because I've stopped drinking Cokes, praise the Lord. And I went down the drink aisle, amen. And I stopped right where the Cokes were, and the Coke man was right there, and he had the pallet in the floor, but it was blocking where I wanted. And I just said, "Mr. Coke, good morning. How you doing this morning?" He looked at me like, "Too early to tell." Praise the Lord. And so I said, "If you don't mind, I'm going to grab a couple of those." He said, "No, go right ahead." And I engaged him in a conversation. I said, "How long you been doing Coke? Do you?" And then he told me. I said, "How do you like it?" He says, "Well, I like the jawbreak, but it's all these people that's a problem." I said, "Yeah, I was in public relation at cut meat and different stuff, so I understand what you're talking about. I understand what you're talking about." But then I said one other thing to him, and I got his attention. I didn't actually know how he was going to respond to this. I said, but I used to work and do that, and then I began to share with him how my life was changed during that time, and I had made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. And I didn't know how he was going to respond. He turned and looked, and he says, "That happened to you?" And I said, "Yep." So I began to engage him in a conversation and say, "So have you ever made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life?" He said, "Yeah, I have, but I'm not living for him now." I said, and we said a number of other things. And then I just said to him, I said, "What's keeping you from getting your heart right with him?" He goes, I don't know. I said, "Is it you just don't know how?" He says, "Well, maybe." I said, "Let's cut to the chase. Would you like to know today that you got peace with God and that Jesus Christ, you're right with him?" He says, "I would." He stood up right there in front of God and everybody. We joined hands right in the aisle of the Coke aisle right there in Walmart. He recommitted his life to Christ and was excited to do so. But it came by me just using my testimony and tying back to where he was serving the public, where I was when I got changed. Come on, Brother Ryan, and help me. I'm going to leave with one other final testimony. This happened about, I don't know, 3 or 4 months ago. It may not have been that long. I was at a place of business. I told this a couple of weeks back. I was at a place of business, and I was coming up, finishing up where I was at, and getting ready to go to my truck, and I noticed there's 3 young men. Come to find out, they were 18, 19, and like 23. And I told God, I said, God, I said, if you want me to witness to those young men, I felt impressed. I said, if you want me to witness to those young men, you set it up. You set it up. So I'm coming by where they were at, and I had to go to my truck to put stuff away, and then I would come right back to them. When I was going by there, by where they were, I noticed their truck. They had some bubble trucks parked over here. Anybody know what a bubble truck is? Amen. Praise God. So on the back of one of the bubble trucks that was jacked up, it had walk by faith and shoot by sight. I said, cha-ching. I said, there it is, Lord. There it is. So I come back. I went to my truck, put my stuff away, and came back to where they were. And I just said this to them. I said, hey, which one of you know Jesus? And one of them looked at me. He says, well, I do. And I said, is that your truck over there? He says, no, that's not mine, but that's one of my friends out there. And I said, well, I saw that truck. I said, you know what that, you, I said, you, I said, I recognize that from a show that's on the Outdoor Channel. But I said, you know what that, where that scripture verse is? And he says, no. Well, actually, the scripture verse doesn't say shoot by, you know. It says walk by faith and not by sight. Okay. Walk by faith and not by sight. I said, it's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. I said, so you know Jesus. I said, how about you other two guys? Do you know Jesus? And they said, they looked at me staring like a blank look at my face. I said, you know what? I was there. And I shared my same testimony to them. I shared another time where I was in the hospital. I said, here's the problem. I said, the reason why most people never have made Jesus the Lord of their life is because they don't know how. That's the reason why. They want to, but they don't know how. And I said, I know because I remember being in the hospital with a man that used to be one of my teachers, and he, when I shared my faith with him or shared my testimony, he pulled up and I asked him, I got him to the point where I said, would you like to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? He pulled the covers over his head and began to cry. I said, my God, what did I do to that man? And when he pulls it down, he says, I do want to do that. I just don't know how. That's where most people are. And when you're faced with eternity because of what happened to him, then you realize my days may be shorter than they are longer. And he realized his need of Christ. So I shared that testimony with those 3 guys. And then the other 2 gave their heart to the Lord. And the other guy said, I want to pray this too. So one guy retaken his life. The other 2 got saved. And then I run back to my truck real quick. I say, stay right here. I run back to my truck real quick. And I gave him a couple little Brother Hagin books about the new birth. Said, read these. This will talk to you about what's just happened to you. And find and get in a good local church that you can grow in your faith in God. Now, I said all that today to say this, not to brag on me. I hope if you got this, that this is me bragging, this is me giving you an example of how easy it is to take what God has done for you. If God saved you, he's done something for you. And it doesn't have to be juicy, long. It just has to be your testimony. And what's real to you is real through you. And if you will be compassionate and loving and sincere, it will move people to a place of decision. I don't ever have to worry about trying to make something up or say, oh, I wish it was, I never think about, I wish it was more juicy. I wish I was, say, I was hung out in drugs and I was there and I was on the skid row and somebody, you know, I never think about that. I thank God I was never there. But I was away from God. And let me tell you something, away from God is away from God. Whether it is just that you never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, or to the other side of the spectrum, that you curse God and didn't want anything to do with God. See, sin is sin. It's separation from God and causes you to have spiritual death. The great equalizer is Jesus Christ. And when people hear about, really, God didn't make it hard for us to be saved. We just have to come God's way. I'm closing right now. God did not make it hard for us to be saved. We just have to come His way. And His way is Jesus Christ. Not your good works. Not all your stuff. See, religion is man's attempt to come to God by his own way. We can have our own version of God. I know I had my own version of God. But your own version of God will cause you to end up in hell. You got to come the way Jesus said to come. He is the most inclusive person, being in the whole universe. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But He's also the most exclusive being in the world. You have to come His way, or that's the only way you can come. He said, the way to destruction is broad. The way to eternal life is narrow. And it's only by making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. It's not your good works. It's not anything you could do. It's only your faith in Jesus Christ to turn from your way and acknowledge God's way. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Christians in the attitude of prayer. Father, I pray today